everybody.
Yeah.
What the hell is it, Monday? He's having another bad hair day.
Another bad hair day.
Is every day a bad hair day now?
I went hiking. I had my rucksack on and I was looking going up hiking, got all sweaty and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you smell bad? Should I smell
you? Nah, I don't know. I don't think so. I changed my shirt.
Oh, okay. I don't
change my shirt and washed up a little bit.
Other day when you just, you seemed like you came in here right after hiking and I could smell you from like way over here. I was like, holy crap.
I'm still sweating out those SARMs probably.
But I didn't smell
anything. Like plastic.
Yeah, you did kind of. It's like a weird chemical-y smell. Yeah. Yeah. We started a couple minutes late because we had to give Beijing her medicine. Yeah. But she really did not want to have it.
Yeah. This movie was pretty interesting. I liked it.
I liked this a lot, and I really want to thank everybody that recommended it. I probably would have got around to seeing it, you know, anyway, because like a lot of channels that I watch, you know, they picked it as one of their best ones of the year. I really dug this movie a lot. I thought it was like really, really cool.
Goes to show you how much you can do with a very small budget as long as you do a good job on it. It's a period piece. It's happening in the 50s. It's got some really good characters from the 50s. You really buy it that you're in the 50s. One of them is he's like a local radio host.
Yeah.
And the other one is like a high school girl who's a switchboard operator. And what was her name, Faye?
Faye.
Yeah, she's cute as a bug.
Yeah, she's played by Sierra McCormick, who I guess she's on that show Supernatural. That's where most people will probably know her from.
You really buy it, you know what I mean, that they're real people. The only thing that was a little odd about it is that they had vaguely Southern accents and they're in New Mexico. I don't think there were any Southern accents.
Although they shot it in Texas, so then maybe that's why. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, maybe. But girls, just reminds me, I really bought the characters, you know what I mean? You got a guy who's probably in his mid-20s. Acting like a big shot because he's a local radio guy. He goes down to the high school and fucking meets Faye for some kind of thing he was televising. Or, excuse me, not televising, but broadcasting a big event they were having.
Yeah, the basketball game at the high school.
And she's a switchboard operator, so he's got to work with her so she could patch in shit. And you could really tell, you know, I remember that kind of age difference. That she's really fucking shining on this guy. She fucking loves him because she just won't shut the fuck up. Just constantly fucking
I loved her character talking so much. And talking. I loved her so much.
Yeah, I used to run into that in my 20s
a lot.
Cute they
as
just
shit.
Keep fucking talking. They talk until you like them. and then like, you know, hours into it, we made a connection, didn't we? No, we made a connection. Yeah, we're friends now. Yeah, it's that kind of shit. It's just funny. You really buy the characters.
They were really endearing. The interplay between the two of them was just so, so good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then, okay, so in this one, this guy stumbles onto a situation that like Art Bell would like, where there's some kind of paranormal shit going on with these strange sounds. And then he plays the strange sound on the radio, and some people start phoning in and says, yeah, I know that sound. And then telling him these stories about, well, this guy calls in and he's telling what he did in the army, and that they made all this big they had him digging these facilities and building these walls out of bricks, and then they moved something in there. It was bigger than an airplane. And so, you know, they're setting up like a UFO story. And well, I don't know if I should spoil any of it, but it's just, man, it's pretty good. I would say the only thing I can knock this movie for is that it kind of started to bog down into too much of a dialogue-based movie. They just kept interviewing people, what it seemed like, and it kind of started to slow the story down. I was like, well, let's get to this. Let's find out what the fuck this is. And it takes a while to get to the reveal. It does get to the reveal. It's pretty satisfying.
I think what I liked the most about this one, I like that, I mean, I kind of liked everything about this one. The characters are great. I love, like, the whole aesthetic of it.
Yeah.
It reminded me very much, because, like you said, so much of it is dialogue-based, because a lot of it's based in communication and auditory kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's almost kind of like listening to an Art Bell show, or it gave me, like, a real Twilight Zone kind of vibe. And it has that kind of aesthetic to it too, because it's almost like doing a weird meta thing where, because at the beginning of it, they're like kind of homing in on this like old 50s TV, and it's got like a Twilight Zone type of show, but it's called Paradox Theater. And so part of it, like when they do transitions, it's almost like you're seeing it for a little while, like on an old 50s style black and white TV. And then it kind of like slowly fades into like realism, I guess. Yeah. So the fact that it does that, so this is very much, I don't want to say that it's not visual, because it is. And it has like some really amazing,
amazing long shots,
like long takes and stuff, which we'll get into in a minute.
They take a shot out of the damn radio, out of the radio
station. Yeah.
And go up the street, all the way down the street, down the hill, across some fields, and into the school in a single shot.
And like, and it's long. Yeah, and it's like long, through all these neighborhoods, and like it goes into the gym, around the gym, kind of around the players, like up in the bleachers, out the window, down the window. Like on, it's like an amazing, amazing shot.
Yeah, I don't
know. It's
how to
so,
do it.
So good.
It had to, some of it had to have been done on a dune buggy or something. Not dune buggy, but a, maybe an electric cart. It's hard to say what it was.
Yeah, like a weird dog. Or I don't know if it was just a guy, like kind of. Well, some of it had to be.
Some of it was moving too fast.
Was moving too fast. Unless they sped up parts of it. I'm not really sure. But it was like a really, really cool, like long take of a shot. But like I said, this is, it's a very auditory movie. There are like a lot of really cool, like long visual shots.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's, this is a, this is definitely a movie that you really, it's kind of like the enjoyment of it is kind of from the auditory sense, like listening to the people talking, listening to the weird sounds, like that the thing in the sky is making, like that kind of, it's like over the radio. And I just really, really love like the sound design.
Imagine if an Art Bell show was happening in the 1950s, and it was kind of like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Kind of remind me of Close Encounters.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Yeah. It did give me that kind of vibe as well.
Yeah.
So like I said, don't expect, it's not like a super action-packed anything. It's not like that. It's a very quiet movie, but I found, I don't know, I just, there's something like really, really cool about it. I just really liked the interplay between the characters. You know, it's like the way, that one great scene of Faye, and she's just like sitting at the switchboard, and there's like, it's like a 10-minute scene of her just like switching out different phones and like talking to different people, trying to figure out what the fuck is going on, because people are calling in saying, you know, there's something up in the sky, and all of a sudden it's like all like interference and this weird noise, and then she's trying to like patch back to the radio station and saying, what's this noise? You know, it keeps coming in over the phone line, and people keep like, she keeps losing connections and shit like that. So it's, so there's like a lot of buildup of the stuff that's going on, and then like this, the guy calls Billy, and he kind of tells his big long story, and then they end up going to this old lady's house, and she tells this really creepy story about the shit, like that she knows some stuff about it. And it's just like a really, really cool, it's hard to explain the experience of it. Like I said, it's kind of like, it's very Twilight Zone-y, it's very Art Bell, it's very that kind of, like, it, the whole thing takes place over a few hours in one night, so it's all nighttime. And so I think that it really gives it this weird, like, uncanny kind of feeling to it. Like you're sitting around, it's kind of like back in the 50s, and you're sitting around in the dark like listening to the radio. It kind of gives me that kind of vibe.
What I liked about it was the period felt correct, even down to the mannerisms and the dialects at the time, you know what I mean? Like it just sounded like 50s people, and they acted like 50s people.
It came across as very natural,
right? For instance, it showed how competent 50s teenagers really were. She's sitting there fucking jamming on that switchboard. That old-fashioned technology was nonsensical. I mean, you know, it was hard to learn.
Everything took forever.
Everything took forever. She was real good at it. And young guy was real professional on how he's going to do a broadcast. And so whoever wrote the script really knew these jobs. He's talking about how to do a broadcast in the fucking show. And they just took it real seriously. And, you know, I remember, like, stories of my family. Like, for instance, my granddad on my father's side was a photographer. And still in that house were all these books on how to take a picture, which, like, today would just take a fucking picture. But back then, the lighting had to be right. You had to learn how to fucking select the type of film. There's
big deal.
Lighting and shit. He had a photo studio.
Yeah.
And so he did real portraits and everything. And evidently, he was a genius at that. He did a lot of things. And he was also a grocer. You know, they changed... They changed professions, but when they did, they really went, got into it. And it just show you kind of how, even though she's a kid, she's kind of adult in a way. A lot of adult
type skills. She says she's 16 at one point, yeah. Right? Yeah, she's a high school student. Right. And I think he might be a high school student too, or maybe just out of high school.
Yeah, and to put this in proper perspective, you know, this is a couple years outside of World War II. When you see those B-17s and those B-24s just bombing the shit out of fucking Europe, or out of Germany, most of those guys flying those planes were 19.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
So the same age
as
the guy I was supposed to be in this movie.
They're like fucking
roughly.
19 years old fucking dropping fucking fire on people's children. They were a hardcore generation, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you had 17-year-olds in the ball turrets and crap. And when the landing gear fucking broke, couldn't get the guy out of the ball turret, they just landed on the ball turret and killed the guy. That happened several times. They were just... They grew up fast. It's kind of neat in a way.
Oracle said, actually this only just now occurred to me, said, did y'all talk about why the radio station has the call sign WOTW, War of the Worlds?
Yeah, that only just
occurred to me. Oh my God. It was like I was looking at it and I was like, I guess it kind of registered, but not really. And I was just kind of like, oh yeah, okay, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But it's like, so I want to get a little bit into this because one, I have to say, when we were saying about like how everything was a big pain in the ass back then, I love the scene where him and Faye are going through those recordings that they got from the library, that they stole from the
library. Everything he had to do to listen to a tape.
And he had, and like him doing the reel-to-reel, and he had to like hook up every single reel-to-reel, and then they'd listen to it for a few seconds. No, that's not the one they were looking for. And then he did it like again and all this other kind of stuff. And I really liked, it was so deliberate, and I really, really liked that. I will say the switchboard that they used for that was an actual still working switchboard. They got one from the era that was still working.
Yeah, she had the headphones and everything.
And so they got it to work. And so the thing about this, the dude that wrote and directed this, Andrew Patterson, this is, amazingly, his first movie. He had the idea for this movie, he said 10 years ago. He said this first idea for it, he just wrote a little note that said something like 1950s, UFO landing, New Mexico. They wanted to base it loosely on like Kecksburg, the Foss Lake disappearances, you know, where people saw a light in the sky and then they disappeared. So they wanted to do it something like that, but not exactly based on that. And they wanted to make it so that they were trying to convey like what it really would have been like if you were alive in the 50s and this shit happened in your town and what that would have been like. And I think they were really, really good at conveying that. Now, the thing about this too is that the writer director, like I said, he had the idea for this 10 years ago. He started working on like commercials and shit like that for like some sports team in Texas, I think. And he saved $700,000 and he paid for this movie himself. Saved up $700,000 and made this movie.
They definitely did a good job. I mean, you know, like I said, they even studied the mannerisms of the 50s, like Faye, you know, just the way she moved.
The way she talked.
Like straight out of 50s television.
Yeah, I totally bought it.
She had her hair pulled back. She was a little short thing, you know, hair pulled back, totally round head with these damn...
The cat eye glasses.
Cute cat eyes glasses that wouldn't work on anybody older than fucking 20. Anybody older than 20 would look like an old lady with them. But, you know what I mean? At least for our generation. But and just the way she moved and she's flying around that damn switchboard and everything. And those damn bobby socks and fucking skirt.
She was so cute, like how enthusiastic she was about everything.
Yeah, and then, you know, she wasn't really comfortable in cars. She would just run down the road instead of getting in somebody's car.
Because she said she kept forgetting that she could ride in a car because she walked
everywhere. Just all kinds of... What made the movie really was just the dialogue and all the personality quirks of these very believable New Mexico, out in the middle of nowhere 50s fucking people.
Yeah, I think that really, like I said, the character work was so good, and it really gave you this creepy sense of, like, listening to somebody telling you a creepy story.
One of the callers that called in, you know, he's talking about his time in the Army and building that thing, and I was listening to his voice and everything, and I said to Jenny, I says, he's black.
Yeah.
And then it comes out later on in the conversation, he comes out.
That was kind of like a significant
black
point. Yeah.
And they're like, what?
He's like, that's why nobody listens to me when I tried to tell. Yeah.
He was involved in a damn special operation, and the whole crew was black guys because they
were Mexicans.
He said there were a few.
Yeah.
He said that they were all assembled because they were working on this top secret thing, and nobody would believe them if they fucking said anything about it.
Yeah.
Which that's true. They did that kind of shit.
Yeah.
The Manhattan Project, okay, where they were making the atomic bomb. All your janitors were black. And they all made sure that they were totally illiterate. That way they couldn't read anything. They couldn't be a spy. They couldn't conduct any espionage for foreign powers. And they wouldn't understand what an atomic bomb was or how to make one.
Yeah, they're just kind of like, but hey, I just got a job cleaning shit up. I'm not worried about anything other than that.
They couldn't read anything. Couldn't read anything on the chalkboards or, you know, they couldn't steal files because they couldn't read anything. So, yeah, they did that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So when that shit came out in the story, of course, I got more engrossed in it.
Yeah.
You know? Because it does sound kind of believable.
Well, that's what I mean. This sounded very plausible.
Yeah, it sounds plausible. And then you have 1950s explanations of fucking what aliens would be doing, which is a trip. You just, like I said, it's a period piece.
Yeah, it's just that they really, really captured the moment. And like I said, I loved the whole, the TV, like the black and white, like fading. I loved that. And can I say, it's like, I guess this is not too much of a spoiler, but can I say, I think my favorite scene in this, other than that really long shot, it's like there were so many good scenes in this, but I think my favorite scene was when they were in the car with that couple and they were going out to like where people had seen this thing in the sky, like out by the edge of town or whatever. And they decided to start, they played back that thing that old lady had said, like that weird thing that sounded like another language. And like the couple in the front seat of the car, like their heads just went back like that. Mm. Oh, it was like, I got goosebumps like when I saw that. It was like so, so creepy. But it's just like, it's not, like I said, it's not a horror movie exactly, but it's kind of, I mean, it's a sci-fi drama, I guess I would call it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's not, you know, it's not aliens like pew, pew, pew. It's something like that. It's just, it's a character, Twilight Zone-y kind of vibe to it. And I thought it was like really cool. Another thing that I saw on Wikipedia that I thought was very funny. They said, so they wanted this to be New Mexico so they could reference, you know, some of the other bases around there and some of the other like UFO lore. But they said they scouted around a really long time for a town to use, which they eventually found it was in Texas. They said because they wanted the gymnasium to look absolutely perfect. But they said that they had to spend $20,000 to get rid of, what is it, the three-point line, like on the basketball field? Because I guess they didn't have that back in the 50s. That's like a new rule. So they had to like spend all this money getting it. I'm like, holy crap, it's like probably... No, I wouldn't have even thought of that because I don't know shit about basketball, I guess. But clearly, because I probably said it wrong. But I just thought that was really funny that somebody actually thought of that and was like, yeah, we need to get rid of that because some asshole somewhere is going to like notice. Like, hey, they didn't have that in the 50s. I think this is supposed to be... Well, he references Sputnik at one point, which that was 1957.
The black dude said that he did that shit before Sputnik.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So this must have... Yeah, but like the... Everett asked him about Sputnik. And then so Sputnik must have already happened. So this must be after 1957.
And that guy never did say what his name was, did he?
He just said Billy. That's
Billy,
all he
that's
said.
Right. Yeah.
But that was a pseudonym, probably.
Yeah, addressed Tila. We liked it, Tila.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I liked it.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's one of those kind of movies that shows you how good of a movie you can make on a very limited budget. You know what I mean? If you've got good actors, you've got a good script, and you got people that give a shit about the production, this shit comes off real good. And really, it was kind of like watching an Art Bell program for me. Art Bell mixed with Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, this definitely, you could tell that the writer-director, Andrew Patterson, that made this, you could tell this was a labor of love.
Yeah.
He put up $700,000 of his own money. He had this idea 10 years ago, and he has been, like, trying to make it since then.
All the characters, very believable, very kind of, like, lovable characters, you know, little Faye.
Yeah. She's the fucking best.
Little
I loved her so much.
Chick fucking flying around on the damn switchboard. And, you know, and then
running through the woods in her little saddle shoes, carrying that baby.
Yeah, and then like you got the guy from the radio station's name?
Everett.
Everett, yeah. And then Everett, who's like a 20-something, local big shot because he
jive talking kind of.
Yeah, because he runs the radio station. You know, you're real professional about everything. You know, just. And I said it was very true to 50s culture, you know, how people became very proficient with this really fucking old-fashioned technology. They became very proficient. They had a lot of self-respect. And they grew up kind of quick in a way, you know. Just a few years before, like I said, in World War II, you had 19-year-olds fucking flying B-17 bombers, fucking burning up fucking Dresden. You know, so people grew up different back then.
That's definitely
and you can see it in the movie. It's good.
I love, too, that when they released this, because it's actually, I think it premiered at the Slam Dance Film Festival, like the beginning of 2019. But Amazon didn't pick it up until spring of this year. And so they released it to VOD, and then they also released it to drive-ins. Because this would be a really good thing to see in a drive-in, like through your own radio and shit like that, just because it's so 50s and it would just be like the perfect, you know, that like might be medium, you know what I mean? It's just like, it'd be really cool. I kind of wish that I'd seen this in the drive-in, actually.
Yeah, I guess T saw it because she's talking about she had a huge crush. Yeah, I got into that earlier, you know what I mean? When you're in your 20s and you have these little high school girls, they fucking get a big, huge crush on you. It happened to me. You knew that it was going on because they just won't shut the fuck up. They're just going to talk you to them. They're going to talk you into liking them. You know what I mean? You like me, don't you? You know, just shit like that. You know, just, but they're funny. You know?
And all the stuff they were talking about. She was talking all about like she was talking about like self-driving cars.
What was going to happen
like,
in the future?
All this stuff that she had read in the magazine about like what was going to happen in the future. Like all this stuff they were going to put in the road so the cars could drive themselves and all this kind of stuff.
And I like the fact the black guy, he's not speaking in Ebonics. It's 1950s. You know what I mean? It's not real obvious what race he is, but I called it. I said just by what the mission he was talking about and his reservations about things. And I went, how much of he's black? And Jenny was like, yeah, he might be. And then later on, he comes back. He says, you see, I'm black.
Yeah.
That's not a big deal, is it? He's like, no, not at all. Okay, yeah, because they wouldn't have been believed back then, which I thought that was a fucking great touch, because that's accurate. That's the kind of shit they did.
It really was.
Yeah.
And I
Manhattan Project. Things like that.
Like I said, I can see why so many people like picked this as one of their favorite movies of the year. I mean, I can easily see that.
Yeah.
Like I said, some of the shots are amazing. Just the whole tone of it is amazing. The sound design is amazing. I loved the sound design on this. Character work amazing. It's just like super, super fun. I actually wouldn't mind owning this one or, you know, watching it again or whatever.
It's good.
So we done?
Oh, yeah. T also said we should do a UFO thing. I love the UFO shows.
I'll have to put that up in the rotation because we already had the vote for this week.
I want to talk about Phoenix Lights. I want to talk about the Phoenix Lights.
Let me write that down.
Talking about Tic Tac UFO really is kind of a waste of time because the pilot is out there fucking talking about it. You can't out talk the fucking actual witness. But there's so many witnesses to the Phoenix Lights. I'm talking about the real Phoenix Lights, not the flares.
Yeah.
Even though some of that shit might be flares, it's hard to tell. Now, I've seen a lot of flares dropped out of aircraft and launched out of artillery pieces and mortars and stuff when I was in the Army. It doesn't really look like flares. Usually with a flare, you can see a trail of smoke above it. And they don't fucking stay up in the air for all that long. They tend to drift apart, too. That was a weird formation of lights. But that's not the real one. There is a real video of the craft, and it's real staticky at night because it's a low light, and they're using a VHS camera that's not made for low light, so it looks like a bunch of static. And you can see like five lights in a sharp V at a distance. They kind of zoom in on it, and they're talking about it. The people who are seeing it at the time, they're like, "Look at that thing." That's the only real bona fide video of the event according to the witnesses that saw it. So yeah, that's it. Symington, the governor, came out, said he saw it, which some people who did see it said that Symington's full of shit, that he lied, that he saw it. But I don't know, I don't think he did lie that he saw it. I think he did see it.
Oracle's talking about the Marfa lights.
The what lights?
Marfa.
I don't remember that one.
MARFA. She says my husband and I went out to Marfa a few years back and saw them ourselves. Yeah.
Oh, those are those things out in the desert, right?
Yeah, I think, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're out there. I think it might have something to do with monkey waves.
You know,
light refraction, you know, because there's, I think there might be freeways out there at a distance, and sometimes when the weather conditions are right, it might kind of slightly bend the light like through monkey waves. I don't know. I heard a couple of good explanations, but, you know, there's no telling. You can't go up on them. It's like a mirage. They go away.
Yeah.
So it leads me to believe that it's something real far away, you know?
Yeah, but I'll definitely put, I'll put, like, Art Bell UFO stuff. I'll put that in the poll for...
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the poll for this coming Saturday show is already done. So I already have the topic for this show, but I can put it in the poll for the following week. And we'll see if everybody votes for that one. So if you want that, go and vote.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you done?
No, they're just talking.
Okay. All right, but yeah, so... If you really like sci-fi, kind of especially like indie sci-fi, like quieter sci-fi, and you like 1950s stuff, Twilight Zone type stuff, then you definitely need to see The Vast of Night. It's on Amazon Prime. I don't think it's streaming anywhere else. That's where we watched it. So, yeah, check it out. I thought it was really great. You ready? You ready? You done?
Yeah, I'm just listening. They're in there talking good. They're having a good conversation. So you can't talk about UFOs without talking about Art Bell. Man, I could do a whole show on Art Bell.
Well, I have that in the topic.
Like an Art Bell, like an Art Bell tribute show, talking about where he came from and what happened, and, you know, and his wife and out there in the Nevada. I miss Art Bell.
Yeah.
They had a YouTube channel for a while that was playing all the Art Bell reruns from the past, and they're every bit as fun to listen to now as they were back then. Even though you knew that shit was 99% bullshit.
Well, you're just listening to stories. It's like, I like listening to scary stories.
Art could take the dumbest
shit. I don't
care
if it's real or not.
Art could take the dumbest shit that he didn't believe in and make that shit sound fucking dramatic as hell. And today on Art Bell, you know, coast to coast, you know, and then you go like, tonight we're going to talk about baby sass. We know about the adult Sasquatch, but today we're going to talk about the baby sass. Get your LSD ready.
Right. Today we're going to talk to some bitch that says he built an elevator to Mars, you know?
Yeah. That's a good one. We're going to talk about the North Florida bottomless pit, endless hole to hell. Mark Whitaker, here with us today, says he has dug a hole to hell and has met the devil himself. Even bringing back samples. Brimstone. Yeah, imagine that shit. That's like something that would be on there.
Yeah, I could totally
straight
see it.
Straight out of like fucking the Night Gallery.
Yeah.
Some dude who's fucking down in his basement fucking digging a hole trying to talk to the devil. By my calculations, I should be there in 6 months. You know? Fucking around.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So anyway, we'll be back tomorrow as usual. Yeah. Talk about another movie. I don't know which one it's going to be yet, but I'm going to find one later and we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So thanks everybody for stopping by, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. Bye.